chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is going to be such a one of those sweet and wonderful messages this morning. It really is. It's a break. I'm serious now. It's a break from the heart series that we're on. And we'll pick back up, Lord willing, next week on the heart. And I've got to do that every once in a while to keep your attention. Otherwise, if I keep preaching on the same subject, then you'll start drifting on me, and you'll be expecting something, and I can't give you what you expect. Amen. I got to give you what the Lord wants you to have, amen. And you need it. Well, listen, this morning I preached this message about 3 years. Well, it was 3 years ago when we first got started here. I preached this message, and the only one that's ever heard it is Lee. If he remembers it, if he didn't skip church that week, you know, unless that was his off week. When he first started coming here, he was going, you know, every other week. So maybe he was off that week. I'm not sure, but I don't remember, but, it's been 3 years. What do you expect from me? But John chapter 14, and I, you know, it's a blessing because before, you know, you have different people and things like that, and you don't, you know, and God shares gives you a truth from His Word and expresses it, shows you, and you want to share that with others and be a blessing. Well, this morning I'm gonna speak a little while to you on heaven, and I don't do that very often. I'm usually preaching to you about hell and wickedness and sin and rottenness and your dirty flesh and my dirty flesh and the wickedness of this world and the judgment of God and everything else. But this morning I just felt like it was a good idea to preach on heaven. You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Heaven, wonderful place. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into the scriptures, and I'll preach a little while to you on heaven. Father, I pray that you bless us now. I know, Father, that you're on your throne in heaven, and you're sitting high above all of us, the high and lofty one. And Father, I just pray that you please speak to our hearts today. Lord, would you please help us this short time to grasp a little bit of eternity, to grasp in our hearts and our lives and our minds. Get a vision, Lord. Get an understanding. Get a vision. Get a direction. Get an image of heaven, the throne of God, the place of God Almighty. Lord, would you please bless us now as we look at this subject, heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. I like that already, don't you? Let not your heart be troubled. Now we'll get to a troubled heart probably sometime, but isn't that interesting? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Aren't those comforting words, by the way, right there? Just as if you just stopped and I just preached on that for a while. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Now listen, Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is such a wonderful place. Many times we will preach about hell because Jesus preached 3/4 of his messages on hell. Many of his messages of hell, avoid hell, stay away from hell, cut off your arm before you go to hell. Do whatever you have to do, pluck your eyes out before you go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. But you know what? There's a bliss of heaven as well. There's another side of it. I heard a preacher say one time, I don't remember who he was. It could have been Dr. Hiles. I don't know who it was, but he said this. He said, a young preacher always preaches about hell. And an older preacher always preaches more about heaven. And I suppose that's because that older preacher is heading there sooner than maybe the younger one is. Lord willing, we never know that. But maybe that's why, because he has eternity, he has heaven on his mind so much, because one day, soon, he knows he'll be taken into heaven's glory. But the first thing I want you to notice, though, about heaven is heaven is where God dwells. Heaven is where God dwells. The third heaven, up in the third heaven, is where God dwells. In Revelation chapter 4, if you turn there, Revelation chapter 4, we will see heaven is where God dwells. What a wonderful place to be, isn't it, where God is? Finally restored, when one day you draw your last breath here and you open up your eyes in eternity, if you're a saved, born-again believer, you will be in the presence of God Almighty. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And though we go through many afflictions and trials and tribulations and struggles, one day we'll see Him face to face. Amen? One day we will know Him face to face. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Notice that. I wish God's people would say that more and understand that and realize that more. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Notice what they said. They said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You need a purpose, for your life? How about 11? How about verse number 11? There's your purpose. You don't need Rick Warren's garbage, philosophical garbage. You need the Word of God. You want a purpose? Here it is. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why were you created? To please God. You want a purpose? There it is. My life is to please God. How much so more when I get saved by the grace of Almighty God, by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary? How much more ought my life to glorify and honor the Savior and God Almighty on the throne? Heaven is where God is. We see the throne of God. Imagine if you would being at the throne of God Almighty. Just imagine that. Will you just imagine that for 1 second? You know, you might live a little bit cleaner life if you imagine that one day you're going to stand before there, because that's the truth. You know, the greatest thing that can happen to you this morning is that you get a glimpse of the throne room of God. You get a vision of the throne room of God. You get a vision of being in the presence of God Almighty. Now, in prayer, we boldly come before the throne of God and we beg for mercy. We boldly come, but do you understand that your prayers enter into the presence of God Almighty? Do you understand that you will one day stand in front of the presence of God Almighty? You will see this throne face to face one day. Standing before Him in all His majesty, seeing these beasts and angels, seeing these 24 elders before Him, which constitute all of the Old and all of the New Testament, resting not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy. By the way, that hasn't changed any. Remember, this book is written in eternity. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's holiness hasn't changed. I'm sorry if the modern day preacher can't realize that and he's got to preach to you a fake Jesus. But the real Jesus, the real God the Father, is holy. Amen. Heaven, a prepared place for prepared people. Your life is to please God. How you doing? Pleasing God? You mean my utter existence, my utter existence, the fact that I'm here is to please God? Yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says, to please God. Amen? How about this? How about you see the throne of God? See this beautiful rainbow around the throne of God. I'm not talking about some effeminate homosexuality rainbow that's out there. They try to pervert the promises and the providences of God and use that symbol in a wicked way. I'm talking about a beautiful, wonderful, amazing, beautiful rainbow around the throne of God. One of beauty and majesty that words cannot express until you see it face to face. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You have no idea. You have no idea. No 3D movie can capture it. Nothing can capture the beauty and the majesty of God Almighty and heaven. Yeah? Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. See these elders standing around Him in pure white raiment. Why white? Because they've been washed of their sins and purified by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. They have been washed and weighed. Someday, my friend, someday, if you're a born-again believer here and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you know He saved your soul. One day when you die, you will stand before Him in white, purified by Jesus Christ. What a wonder of wonders that blood can purify. We know that human blood is the dirtiest thing ever. Did you know that? Did you know human blood is the most defiling, disgusting thing ever? Study it out. Look at it. How infectious it can be and how much bacteria and everything can pollute it and what can come into the bloodstream and how it affects it and how dirty it is. Amen? Look at AIDS. Look at blood. Immune deficiency. Look at blood diseases. Look how dirty they are. How disgusting blood is. But the blood of Jesus, the blood of the pure one, is what cleanses from all unrighteousness. Cleanse so they can wear white. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27. Why do they wear white? Because of this. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, only those that have been imputed righteousness will enter into those gates, will enter into the throne room of God, will enter into His majesty. Only those that are born again, only those that have been washed in the blood, only those that are saved. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Amen. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. How about this? How about you turn to Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Why don't you catch a vision of heaven this morning? Maybe it'll affect your day. Maybe it'll affect your walk. Maybe it'll affect your life if you catch a glimpse of the majesty and holiness and righteousness of God Almighty. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And He laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Not going to get into that. But holy, 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 the whole earth is full of His glory. Will be one day too as well. The smoke filled, the sign of the Shekinah glory right there filled the the temple room, filled the throne room, and Isaiah was in the midst of it. Isaiah saw it all. Isaiah got a glimpse of that glory of God. You know, it'll change your life if you get a glimpse of the glory of God. It'll change your day. It'll change your life. You know what? When your soul meets the Savior and it really meets the Savior and you've been born again, it changes you. Amen? You're not the same person you used to be. Why? Because you get a glimpse of who God really is. When you start studying the nature of God and you start realizing who He really is, you know what? It'll have an impact on you. It'll change who you are. It'll change you. When you study the attributes of God and learn about His holiness, His righteousness, His truth, His long-suffering, you won't want to frustrate the grace of God. You won't want to abuse or spit on the grace of God. You want to embrace it, and you'll thank God for it, and you'll humbly submit to it. Can you see it? For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Look at that one. How about that? For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell in the high and lofty place, he said. I dwell there. God dwells in eternity. God, whose name is holy. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. God's there. Now, it is true that God is everywhere, but His immediate power and presence, it will be right there at the throne of God. Right there. The throne of God. Heaven is where eternity is. God dwells in eternity. The throne of God where He spoke this world into existence. Would you see it? The throne of God where He spoke this world into existence. Right there from there. That is one place where you will be one day. That ought to excite you. That ought to make you think of heaven more. That ought to make you think of living a life for Jesus Christ. Because one day you're going to stand where God spoke this world into existence. In the presence of the King. Think about that. Think about that. Would you for once put away all your selfish thoughts and everything about you, and would you just for once think about God Almighty? Would you just for once get a glimpse and a vision of God Almighty and think about Him high and lofty on His throne? Think about it. Where the Holy Trinity dwells, where God set forth His eternal order. See it now, the throne of God in all its majesty, where Lucifer started a coup, and where he looked at the throne of God and said, I think I can take that. I think I can take God. I think we can do it. Got a bunch of angels together and rebelled against God. I think we can do it. I think it'll work out. I think we can take Him. That same place you'll be one day. In the presence of God. The same throne where God looked down and saw the sin of mankind, heaven, where God looked down and sent hell out of heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for homosexuality. I was reading a quote by Spurgeon that he said that same thing. He said that homosexuality is a sin where hell came out of heaven. Fire and brimstone, right out of heaven to destroy. Man. Listen, folks, one thing you'll realize about this preacher, I'm not going to stop preaching against sin just because of some hate crime legislation. I can give a rip less about hate crime. By the way, that ain't hate. To love somebody enough to tell them the truth, that they're going to die and go to a sinner's hell and burn for all of eternity if they don't turn away from their wickedness and trust Christ as their Savior, is the most wonderful thing you can ever tell somebody. And I know in America right now, we're in a time in American history where we actually believe that it's better to lie to somebody, soft sell them, give them a falsehood, give them a few bucks and let them go on their way than to tell them the truth. That they're dying and going to a sinner's hell. The same throne where God looked down and saw all the sin of mankind. The same throne where God looked down and sent a worldwide flood to destroy this earth. The same throne where God will one day send His judgment down and destroy and melt the earth with fervent heat. Melt all of the universe with fervent heat. He'll melt it all down and He'll redo the earth again. Yeah? That same throne where God looked down and saw that. The blessed purity of heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. Why? Because God dwells there. That's why. The throne of God. Think about this. The throne of God, the seat of all eternity. Think about that. That'll make you wonder. The seat of all eternity. Wow. That's where eternity brought forth time, right there from the throne of God. Right there. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. There is nothing imperfect there. There is no sinner there. There is no erring doctrine there. There are no handicapped people there. There are no deformed people there. There is no need for an interpreter for the deaf. No one is deaf. There are no wheelchairs there. There are no imperfections there. God dwells there. The presence of Almighty. No imperfections. No pain. No suffering. No physical problems. Perfection. Perfection. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people because it's where God dwells. Can you catch a vision of that? Can you catch a vision of that? The high and lofty one sitting on his throne, the one who sent out his decree, the one who sent out his rules, the one who set everything into order, the holy, holy, holy one. Remember back in the days of kings in the Bible, if a person had a sad countenance, they could be killed if they were in the presence of a king. But when you are in the presence of God, there'll be no sad countenance after the judgment. There'll be no sad countenance for you. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people because it's where the throne of God is. Next, point number two is we see Christ as a preparer. Christ is the one that prepares us. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people because Christ is the one who prepares you for heaven. Amen. God sent forth the Son, made of a woman. God sent forth the Son to do that. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, are those some blessed words, my friend? Oh, are those some comforting words? Hold on to those words when nothing else works in this life. Hold on to this one thing, that Christ is the one that prepares us to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And you know what, my friend? Christ is a preparer. And never lose sight of that, that He's the one that prepares. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow. He left to prepare a place. Let me ask you, do you have a loved one that went on before you that was saved? I think recently of Lee's grandma and grandpa, month apart, trusted Christ as their Savior. So, well, they didn't live a perfect life. Well, guess what? Neither do you. Don't you worry about your own salvation, amen? Trust God for what He does in somebody's life. I preach the book and let it all fall where it falls, my friend. You believe God, don't you? You believe His promises are true, don't you? You believe puny flesh won't get in the way of God's promises, right? Amen? Why don't you trust God? I believe salvation changes a man. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I also believe God's the judge of that, not me. Amen? Just because I preach hard on sin and repentance and faith does not mean that I'll look at a man and tell them they're lost unless they pretty much tell me they never sinned. Or they didn't see themselves as that bad of a person. Ever. Never came to the Lord lost. Then I'll tell you, well, you're lost. Amen? I'll look you dead in your eye and tell you that. Let me ask you, you have a loved one that went on before you? I do. I remember my Aunt Doris. I remember about 7 years ago. Been about 7, 8 years now, hasn't it? I remember about probably a month or two before she died, I went down there. About maybe 4 or 5 months before she died. you know, or so, maybe a little bit longer. But I remember going down, and I said, Aunt Doris, I got to ask you a question. She said, yeah. I said, knew she was getting ready to die. She had emphysema. She had, you know, her lungs were bad. I said, are you saved? She said, yeah. She said, your dad led me to the Lord a long time ago. Your dad knows I'm saved. She was ready to die. She was ready to die. It wasn't too long after that I was going to a funeral. A year later. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. You know, I also think of another, a deaf man, the first deaf person I ever led to the Lord. A man by the name of Tony. Oh, crippled up. Just on oxygen, crippled up, deaf man. The Jehovah's Witnesses were after him. Everybody's trying to get him. I got all his Jehovah's Witnesses books, and I took them, and he said, you want these? I said, sure, I'll take them. I got rid of all of them, got them out of his house, and we gave him a Bible or something. I don't remember exactly what. I remember him getting saved. I remember him signing and coming to know Christ as his Savior. And I remember not too long after that, a few years later, he died. Saw his name in the obituary. Just happened to find out, a deaf friend of mine told me, and I looked it up, and sent me the obituary, and I seen him, and I said, ah, that one's in heaven. You say, why? The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I think of those lost ones that went on before, or those saved ones that went on before me, those that trusted Christ, those that knew. Think of my uncle at a funeral that raised his hand and said, I need to be saved and trust Christ as his Savior. And then preaching it, and then going to his funeral just last year. Think of him in heaven, walking the streets of gold. Amen. Heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people, and Christ is the preparer. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Christ is speaking to the believers on him, the ones who depend on him. If you've never ran to the cross and been saved by the grace of God, you have no part in heaven. You cannot rightfully say, let not your heart be troubled. These words should cause no comfort for your soul. They should torment you because you're not saved. You've never been born again. You've never come in repentance and faith and trusted Christ as your Savior and turned to Him and believed on the gospel and been born again by the Spirit of God. So these words won't comfort you. These words will go down to your grave. You'll take them down. I think of Voltaire, the man that said that he would destroy the Bible. He would destroy the truth. Oh Christ, oh Christ, he said. Now he didn't say, oh Christ, because he wanted him to save him. He said, he said it in a spiteful way. Oh Christ, I'm damned forever. Would not turn. And heart got so hard he could not turn. Kissed his day of salvation away. Died and went to a sinner's hell for all of eternity. When the pleading of God is, why, oh why, will you die in your sins? Why, oh why, will you die in your sins? A man chooses to die in his sins. He's not selected to. You understand me? I don't care what any wicked, Calvinistic garbage tells you. A man chooses to die in his sins. He's not selected to die in his sins. And neither are you selected for heaven. Until you make the decision to come to Jesus Christ. You have freedom to reject Him, and you have freedom to receive Him. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's Arminianism, isn't it? Isn't that a works? That Arminianism. No, that's not Arminianism. That's biblical. That's Bibleism is what that is. That's biblical salvation, my friend. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever will. Whosoever will. For God so loved the world. That's the promise of God. I'm sorry, friend, if you have a problem with the promise of God, you need to take it up with Him when you see Him one day. Or maybe you won't see Him one day if you have a problem with that promise. And you'll see Him in judgment one day. I've never seen anywhere in the Scriptures where God says, I select some to heaven and select some to hell. Never seen that one. I've seen some man-made philosophies that try to look at the Scriptures and say that. I've seen some nutcases like Calvin and Augustine. Devils. I've seen them say some things like that. I've seen some men model themselves after some men like that. But no, I can't preach to you a gospel of selection. I can only read this verse that says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen? Amen? You'll never hear me preach a gospel that excludes anybody that will come to Christ. Can't do that. It's not in the book. Christ is speaking to the believers, the ones that will trust Him, the ones that will come to Him. Christ is preparing a mansion for the saved. You notice that? If I go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house, for many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. A mansion? Yeah, you get a mansion if you're saved. You get a mansion. Now let me say this. If you have an NIV Bible, it'll say, in my Father's house are many rooms. Well, that's wonderful. In my Father's house are many rooms. And then you know what? Some joker will pull this card out. I love this. I love the NIV Joker card. That's what I call it. Well, the originals say, oh, you have a copy of the originals? Could I see it? Could you show me? You know those jokers never answer that question. I'll put that on Facebook and I'll put it on somebody's thing. And you know, none of those jokers ever answer the question. Could I see your copy of the originals? Could you please show me that copy of your originals? Could you please provide that copy of those? Since you know how to read the originals, could you please show me where that copy is? Oh, wait, there isn't any. Yeah, they're in heaven. That's where the originals are. But the ones that were penned here, no, you won't find the originals. You know why I use the King James Bible? Because it was based off the received text, the Textus Receptus. By the way, the Greek text and the Hebrew Masoretic text that were used in the churches, they were in use. They were being used by the churches since they were transcribed. So you see, they use this set of texts all the way through. Funny, because I believe that promise of God. God promised He would preserve His Word, not hide it in a Roman Catholic dumpster so somebody could come along and find it and then say, oh, this will fix the Bible. I know what's wrong with all you churches. You churches have a problem, so you need to start using this liberal text that changes everything and destroys the deity of Christ, takes away His second coming, takes away His sonship, or His equality with the Father, destroys the Trinity, destroys the doctrine of repentance, destroys everything. You need to use this one. See, this will correct you. Let the good old Roman Catholic Pope correct you. Let the Vicar of Hell come along and correct you. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to let some Antichrist come along and correct my Bible that's been used in the churches, by the way, that he was chasing those churches in and out of caves and chopping their heads off and putting their heads on poles. But I'm going to follow the one that was in the Catholic dumpster. Yeah, let me use that text. That's a good one to use. If that's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. So you're telling me that the Bible that God promised to preserve through His churches since he wrote it is not good enough, but I need to use something that the Roman Catholics made up. Funny, I'm not too good at that. I usually don't like to get anywhere near anything the Roman Catholics do. You're right, and I don't like the Pope hierarchy. I do think he's the Vicar of Hell. I think he's a wicked, rotten, awful man. Amen? So we can get that straight. I have no problem with that. And you know, if you thought about it for a minute, if somebody was sending somebody to hell, you'd think they're pretty wicked too, wouldn't you? Well, if I'm preaching anything other than Jesus Christ, for there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, if I preached anything about Mary, anything about anything else, anything about the sacrament save you, if I stood up here and told you, well, listen, if you don't take the Lord's Supper every week, you're not saved and you'll lose your salvation, and that the church administers salvation to people. No, my friend, the church does not administer salvation to anybody. For there is none other name given among heaven whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the one that gives salvation. Amen? Jesus Christ. So if you want to accuse me of lifting up Jesus Christ and lifting up God the Father, you got it. That's the one I'm lifting up. I'm not lifting up some wicked, rotten, disgusting sinner. Amen? That was my little rant for the day. Anyway, back to the text. Heaven, a prepared place for prepared people. My Bible says mansions. Amen? Mansions. Well, what materials did they use for a mansion? How about Revelation chapter 21? We looked at this a few weeks ago. What materials are used for your mansion? This would be kind of hard to fit in a room, but let me show you what materials are used here in heaven. Revelation 21. Verse number 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardius, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a jacinth, the chrysol, whatever that is, the 11th is a jacinth, and the 12th is an amethyst. All right, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Heaven's a beautiful place, full of beautiful jewels, gems. And Christ is a preparer. And He's preparing your mansion with that right now. See the wealth of Jesus Christ. See the wealth the Father owns it all. Your mansion will be worth more than anything that a Donald Trump or a Bill Gates or a rich oil sheik would ever have. Let them worship their money now and their false gods now. One day the believer in Christ will be richer than all. The manifestation of those riches will come. With a mansion of costly jewels and a clarity and beauty better than any jewel of this earth could ever hold, because it's made with the purity of God Almighty and from His pure hands. Notice the gold of heaven, how it is so pure and rich. No impurities, clear as glass. The materials of this prepared place by the preparer, Jesus Christ. The one who prepares it all. He says, I'm preparing a place for you. And my friend, God does not change His mind. He is immutable. That means He cannot change. When Christ says, I prepare for the believers, He means it. When Christ says, I'm coming back, He means it. Amen? So say, oh, isn't that an allegory? I think you're an allegory. No, it's not. Amen? You're a figment of my imagination. Now get out of my face. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't say that. But you know what? It's truth, friend. Jesus said He was coming back. See, why do some people call it an allegory? Some people say that Jesus, well, He isn't really going to come back. He isn't really going to come back. That's what a lot of people say. However, I have a little problem with that when you turn to Acts chapter 1 or 2, when what He says, when the two witnesses say, hey, this same Jesus, which He shall so in like manner come, he'll return, just as you've seen Him leave. He's coming the same way. He's coming back. He left in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. He's come the same Jesus. He'll step back down to the Mount of Olives. Where He left from. He'll come back. Well, don't stand there gazing up into heaven waiting. You know? Next, we notice there are already people there. We know they're there. You and I have loved ones. You and I have those. We just talked about those a little bit. You and I have those loved ones. We have those that have went on before us. Those that that lost everything, we have those. Those that lost this life and went on to glory, they gained eternity, didn't they? Everything they held here is gone. They live on in you, though. Amen. Their true zoo, what they stood for, in your family. But can I help you out a little bit with this? Your loved ones that went on before you. It says, let not your heart be troubled. They are resting in the prepared place. They are safe in the arms of God, and they will never be alone. Although you miss those loved ones that went on before you, those that died in Christ are with the Lord, and they don't miss you. I'm sorry, they don't miss you. They don't feel a lack, or is that why? They're in the presence of God. You and I just can't make the grade, amen, when it comes to that. They're in the presence of God. Say, why would that make them not miss me? Well, because that's what they were created to be, was in the presence of God. They were made to please God. They were made to dwell with God. They're with Him. They're at peace. They want nothing else. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They're in the presence of the King. Can I tell you also that your loved one walked no dark path? Your loved one saw no dark tunnel like is popularized by many people. Turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Amen. Furnished or supplied, ministered unto you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly and abundant. What does that mean? You're delivered into the hands of God, my friend. There's an entrance. You see that? There's an abundant entrance when you go to heaven. There's an abundant entrance. Makes me think there's an announcement when another one comes. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying there's going to be people waiting for you. Amen. When they know you're coming, and they see you walking up, they see you coming, they're going to know. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Friend, there's no dark tunnel you're going to go through. Your loved one went through no dark tunnel. No purgatory. No damnable heresy is purgatory. No place where you have to pray them out of purgatory. No place where you pray them out of a mini hell or a sub hell or anything else, my friend. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no purgatory. You say, but the Pope says that he's trying to beautify the other Pope that just died. You can't beautify that mess. But beautify that other one that died and get him out of purgatory. Well, friend, if he's in purgatory, he ain't in no purgatory. He's in hell burning everlasting fire. You say, preacher, what are you saying? What I'm saying is, friend, is the gospel of the Roman Catholic Church just said that man was God on earth. Could you help me out here, please? Pay attention. Listen, let me ask you a question. You say, why are you doing this? Because I'm talking to you about heaven, and I'm trying to destroy all the false doctrines that are out there and all the garbage and get you to look at your Bibles and don't listen to what some guy with a real funny hat, fish-headed hat says. Now listen to me. Here's the thing, all right? If the Pope is what he says, he is the vicar of Christ, God on earth, speaks from a throne, and whatever he speaks is ex cathedra, it is like God speaking. Okay, so he could pull down the wafer, or that ever round little soap thing they eat. That thing looks weird. It looks like a disc or something you shoot out of a Nerf thing. But anyway, they take that little round disc, and then they take that, and when they bring it down, when they pull it down, it actually, when you're eating it, it actually, the priest during his transubstantiation, he actually turns into a vampire and turns it into real flesh and real blood that you're really drinking, and it's really the blood when it goes in, it's really the flesh. That's called transubstantiation. So he's saying that's what that turns it into. Now, he is God on earth. He has the power to do that, and he can speak. He says, now this is what he says. I'm God. He's God on earth. He speaks for God. He's in God's stead. Everything else. But then all of a sudden, when he dies, he goes to purgatory. Let me get this straight. When he had breath here, he was God on earth. When he dies, he goes into hell, a mini hell. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Listen, I don't even have a college degree, and I can tell you that don't make any sense at all. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're telling me while he's alive here, he's God in the flesh or whatever, the vicar of Christ. But then when he dies, all of a sudden he goes to hell. But then you got to pray him out, and then the next pope that comes along, he's got to beautify him. He's got to make him a saint. Friend, that's not Bible. That's not Bible. What's the Bible say? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen? That's Bible, friend. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Friend, your loved one that was saved and died in Christ, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. They didn't go to some purgatory. They didn't go to some dark tunnel. You don't have to pray for them any longer. You don't have to pray for your loved ones that went on before you, that went to heaven. You can't even pray for the ones that went on and went to hell, friend. There's no escape from hell. There's no escape from hell. They'll burn for all of eternity. There's no way to get out of hell. Some pope can't stand up and say, okay, well, I'm going to beautify him and I'm going to make him say, wait a minute, okay, let me get this straight. Now, while you're alive, you can make that guy a saint, but when that guy dies, he can't be a saint until you make him a saint, but he's a saint when he's here. That don't make any sense. And the Vatican is buried on top of Peter's toe. I don't know. None of it really makes a whole lot of sense to me. It's just, what is it? It's a bunch of garbage is what it is. It's to control people, friend. Let not your heart, why do you think Jesus put that verse in there? Are you listening to me this morning? Jesus put that verse in, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't believe what some idiot tells you, believe what the Bible says. Amen? Come on now. I'm trying to get you to trust in the Word of God. Point to the Word of God. Look to the Word of God. Don't believe what some man says. You trust God. You believe Jesus Christ, what He said, what He promised. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the promise of the Savior, friend. You better start trusting God instead of questioning Him. Amen? That'll do good in all your life, by the way, if you'll trust Him. Isn't that something? No dark tunnel, friend. They'll be delivered into the presence of God by the angels of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Rest in God's promises, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's a little baby. They're being comforted in the arms of God. God has taken them to a city where they will never grow old. Amen? Never grow old. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A city where no harm will ever come to them. A prepared place where they can never break your heart, never be harmed or harm anyone. Where they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. You better praise God for the fact that when you draw your last breath here, you will open your eyes up in the presence of God. You better thank the Lord for that. You better stop feeling sorry for yourself and thank God that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The Bible promised for those who have believed and are not of the age of accountability as well, to be absent in the bodies and presence of the Lord. Babies that go on, they don't need to be sprinkled by me. I don't need to have, okay, listen, I've got to baptize your baby in order for it to be saved. No, I don't, friend. Bible never says that. Those that know not sin, those that understand not sin, will go on before, and they go to heaven to be with the Lord. You say, why is that, preacher? Because personal accountability, that's why. God holds the people personally accountable for their sins. That's called personal responsibility. Now, you can call it individual soul liberty. It happens to be a Baptist distinctive. But in a nutshell, it's personal responsibility. See, you got to answer for your own soul. A baby can't answer for his own soul. He has no answer. Amen? Praise His holy name. Let not your heart be troubled. The Bible promises for those who have believed and are not out of that will go to heaven. My loved ones are there. Yours as well, friend. If you have loved ones that went on before you, they will know you and they will see you one day. You will be able to love them and hold them and be with them someday. Maybe it's your mother, your father, your child, your friends. They will know you. Let not your heart be troubled. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. That ought to excite you. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. You're either too stinking carnally minded, you got too much sin in your life that you can't get the joy of God. You're robbed of your joy because you got too much sin, or you're not even saved and you're not going to heaven, so you're afraid of it. Well, let me tell you, don't be comforted. Let your heart be troubled. Let it be troubled if you're lost here. Let it be troubled if you never come to Christ in saving faith. You better let it be troubled. I pray you don't sleep another day in your life until you come to Christ. I pray you're up all hours of the night. You can't sleep. You're wringing your hair out till you look like my dad back there. Till you come to Christ and be born again. You say, why? Because the nicest thing that can happen to you is for you to be convicted in the depths of your soul. That's that's the best thing that could ever happen to you, is that you're so convicted you can't even sleep. Amen? Why? That you might have life. And lastly, He prepares all who are willing to be prepared. If you're here and you've never been saved, heaven is a glorious place, but you'll have no part in it until you admit you're a sinner and you deserve to go to a sinner's hell. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in heaven. There's a lot of people that believe in hell. There's a lot of people that believe in God. That don't save you just to believe in God. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Did you see that? He didn't just say you can believe in God. He said, no, you believe also in me. Why? Because Jesus is the door. Amen? Jesus is the door. And you'll not get to heaven without Him. All that ever came before Him are thieves and robbers. And all that ever come after Him are thieves and robbers. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the door to eternity. Man, isn't that exciting? You think about that. Jesus Christ is the door to eternity. You might be here this morning, but you have no part in this place. You've never been born again. No part in heaven. What a sad state of affairs. How many times have you said, "Go, Spirit, go away. On some convenient day, I'll call." I hope that's not you. There's no trying to be good to get there. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the only way. Baptism is not the way to heaven. Communion is not the way to heaven. Mary is not the mediator or co-redemptor to take you to heaven. The Baptist church is not the way. The Catholic church is not the way. The Lutheran church is not the way. You come through the blood or you don't come at all, my friend. You come through the holiness and the righteousness of God Almighty. The blood is the way. He sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat. Heaven securing salvation for all who will receive it. If you want heaven, your dire need is to take care of your sin problem. You see, your sins are on your soul, and you can't go to heaven with sin on your soul. Jesus is the only one that can impute righteousness and save your soul. You and I, we have broken God's righteous laws, and there's no way around it. Christ is a preparer for all who are willing to be prepared. You say, "I'm saved. I have Christ." Are you allowing the Lord to prepare you for heaven? Are you allowing Him to deal with your life? Are you walking in the Spirit of God? Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? Are you allowing God to root out the sin in your life and throwing it down? Are you still making excuses and having a hard heart and justifying your sin? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Now, you'll go there even if you're a wicked sinner saved by grace. But there'll be a loss of reward. How about shame when you look upon His face? Heaven's a prepared place. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. You ready to meet thy God? You pleased with your life as such? Pleased with your dealing? Pleased with the way you're living for the Lord right now? That if heaven was the place you'd be tonight, can you walk into the gates of heaven and say, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Or do you hang your head in shame and say, "I wish I'd have given Him more. I wish I'd have given Him more. I wish I wouldn't have wasted my life so much." Well, guess what, friend? You're not in heaven right now, so you have an opportunity to change that. Stand to your feet, if you would, please. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. How you doing? If you're born again, you're prepared to be there. But as you're